By the 4-H Barns. All-day ride tickets can be purchased for $25 in advance or $30 on site. For more information about the fair, vendors, and the grandstand show schedule, visit jacksoncountyfair.net.
Are you a homeowner? Are you sick of paying an electric bill that keeps going up and never ends? Do you wish that there was another option? Harvest Solar here in Jackson is your trusted local source for cost-effective, renewable energy. Harvest Solar has been helping homeowners own their power and gain energy independence for over 15 years. Zero-down financing options are available. Contact us today to schedule your free, no-obligation home energy assessment at 788-8800 or visit harvestsolar.com.
As previously notated, we're talking to the mayoral candidates this week, and we begin with Laura Dwyer-Schletke, who is leaving city council.
No, I'm not leaving city council. I can't rerun for my seat.
Okay.
So I want to make that perfectly clear. This is
Yeah, we should do that. That's
because that was in the newspaper that way, and I got drawn out of my seat. I would have run for the fourth ward.
So you likely wouldn't have run for mayor, but you would have rerun for the fourth
ward? That's correct, okay. Yeah. And if I were going to run for mayor, I would have waited 2 years and then run again. However, I love the door knocking. I've been talking to so many people. It's been fascinating and gratifying, and I take a lot of notes, and I have 4 or 5 emails that are going out to department heads and our city manager. Hopefully this afternoon, after I fill in some more notes of concerns of certain citizens and about certain things.
Is there a major?
Oh, the number one issue is the roads.
Really?
Yeah. Very rarely, if I ask somebody what their biggest concern is, very rarely do I hear anything other than the roads. There are a few times people say something, but they may be sitting on a road that isn't full of potholes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knocked on Orange Street this weekend. I couldn't believe. I don't know that there was an area of Orange Street that doesn't have a pothole. And there are several roads like that. Mound would be another one.
No, they're all over.
Right.
Yeah.
It's okay. Even though your road's good, might have to eventually travel on a... You're not going to go far before you hit a road that doesn't need to be fixed.
Are they prepared to pay to... Have
the citizens?
Fixed. Yeah.
We had on our council agenda last Tuesday, we had, I think, 8 streets that were going to be repaved, all having to do with lead line replacement and water and sewer main replacement. And the 2 of the streets that voiced a concern, and one I actually stopped and talked to someone on their street. I went to see what the street looked like. They were fine with paying. They didn't have a problem participating in the cost of repairing our roads. What they wanted, which I hadn't heard of, nor had I thought of, so I appreciated the conversation, was they wanted to know roughly what the cost was and have some time, have 3 or 4 years to save up so they could either pay it in full or be prepared to pay that difference on their tax bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that, especially in the lower income. We're 32% low income. We need to, as leaders in the community, we need to think about those issues and how they affect each and every person. But people do want their roads fixed. Their choice is assessment or millage. And I challenge anyone to take our budget and see if they can find some money in there to pay for roads. We do not have... We have less than 2 mills in our budget for infrastructure. And infrastructure is not just roads. It's our buildings that we have to maintain. And the last thing we want are those to deteriorate, too. So we have to come up with a solution. I believe in assessments for a couple of reasons. One is they go away. Millages do not. And we would, in order to solve the problem with the roads, the millage would have to be substantial. I think millages deteriorate the value of your property. I'm in real estate. I don't want people to lose value in their real estate. The assessment is also shared with nonprofits that are on the street. If you live on a street and there's a church or someone who owns a nonprofit building, they will participate in the cost. If it's a millage, they're not going to participate in that cost. And we can use every bit of dollars possible to solve this problem. The other main thing about fixing the roads that I want to do is put a plan in place. Our our engineer department, they're very good at what they do. They plan 5 years out, and we need to know the overall plan. How many years is it going to take? Is it going to take as long as it takes to do the lead lines? If so, so be it. But let's know which streets are going to be done where. And people just want to know, is my road going to be done in 5 years, or is it going to be 10, or is it going to be 20? And if it's going to be longer than they're willing to wait, there are options for them.
Okay, we have a weak mayor system. Does the mayor carry any more weight than any of the other council people? In your estimation?
I do think so, yes. I mean, I've seen it with the... I've served under four different mayors. Marty Griffin, Jason Smith, Derek Dobies, and now Daniel Mahoney. And they have directed the path. There's no doubt. And So, yes, and it also depends on the city manager and what the city manager is trying to accomplish. I've served under three different city managers. And the first city manager kind of did what everybody wanted him to do. And I didn't think that was healthy. The second one was very strong and got a lot done. But we got to a point where we needed more cooperation, and now we have the current city manager who is willing to listen to people and take into consideration different ways of accomplishing the same goal without penalizing people. So I appreciate that, and I've appreciated everybody's different perspective, whether it's mayor, whether it's other city council people. I've worked with, I think it was 13 different city council people, and they've all had their different ways of handling things.
So you know how City Hall works.
I do know how City Hall works.
You've been around there. What?
I was first elected in 2011. And when you're first elected, it takes time to get your feet on the ground.
No question.
And my feet are on the ground and ready to go. And I mean, first thing I would deal with is the streets. But at the same time, you can do a lot of other things. I think the MLK corridor, what's being done on the Corridor Improvement Authority, is awesome. They're doing a great job. There's amazing leadership there, including our current mayor. And the Malik Goodwin, who they are Goodman. I don't know if it's Win or Goodman. But anyhow, who is kind of the facilitator for that, is amazing. I would love to tap into him to do a corridor study for the East Michigan Avenue, which needs to be addressed. So that would be another hot topic for me. And updating our multimodal pathway, we've got MDOT. You got to pull all these dots together. You got MDOT that's going to start construction on East Michigan Avenue at Dwight heading east to 127. That's a huge project, and I'm excited about that.
Enormous.
Very little of it's in the city, but what is in the city is important, because that's the start of the improvement of East Michigan Avenue. And we have to know what we want that to look like before they start, they're already starting their planning. So we've got to get that information to them now.
Can we tag into that?
Yes, yes. And we need to bring that west. We need to activate the Amtrak station. Work with Amtrak. I was reading something where Amtrak was trying to increase their trains. So I thought they were interested in selling it to the city, but I'm not sure based on what I just read, a recent study. We'll see.
What, the depot?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. It'd be nice if we could get our hands on that and have control over it. For years, since 2005, there was a multimodal, there was a study on the Amtrak station saying that it would be a great facility and location for a multimodal hub. Put the bus station there. People get off the train with their bikes, and they could go, or they get off the train and they can take the bus somewhere. But you have to have all the players in place to make that happen. And there was a study, an update on that study in 2010 that said the same thing. It's been pretty consistent. It's important to bring all these projects together, and you can do them all. I mean, you can be working on them all at the same time.
Well, let's go back to the city staff and the management there. What grade would you give them, A, B, C, D?
I would probably give them, I don't know. It just depends on the topic. I think Jonathan Green, our city.
Overall effectiveness. Overall,
I would say, I mean, we can all use improvement, right?
I'm
the farthest thing from a teacher probably, but I would say maybe a B+. I think city staff needs to look at our lower income segment of our population and how can we lift them up without our ordinances effectively taxing poverty, which is what we have ordinances in place that do that. And that could simply be a result of not thinking about it until you hear of the concern. I'll give a great example. Chain link fences aren't allowed in the city. So if you wanted a fence in your yard and you didn't already have a chain link fence, you couldn't put one up. And I get it when it's a front, you know, like it's a corner property and one of your yards is on Kennedy. And I can understand why you might not want that fence to be a chain link fence. But most houses, most properties are not on a corner. And if I have children, most importantly, or an animal, and I am not flush with cash, which is most people in today's world, especially with the economy, the only thing I might be able to afford is a chain link fence. But because we don't think they're pretty, you have to put in a vinyl or a wood, which ups the cost substantially. I think we should step back and take a look at that. Is that something that is keeping people holding, simple things like that, holding people back? When we were selling lots, I don't know if this is still the case. There was one gal that wanted to buy the lot next to her, and the city was insisting that she wash the exterior of her house. There's no health, safety, or welfare issue with, I mean, why? And she didn't have the capability of washing. She didn't have the equipment. She didn't probably have the extra money to do that. And I think we need to really consciously think of ways to help people. There's another gal I was talking to while I was knocking on doors this weekend, and her house is really cute. And she bought it in 2010, I think she said. So she got a really good deal. It's in the northeast corner of the city. And this paint is horrendous. It's just flaking off. But she won't qualify. She probably won't qualify for our home improvement loan because she owes back taxes. And she owes back taxes because all of a sudden her student loans came up and they were garnishing state income tax to pay those. So a lot of people use their income tax money to pay for improvements. And someone might say, well, if you can't afford it, then you shouldn't own a home. Well, how do we get wealth in society? And it's by home ownership. So I would say back to you, how do we help that person stay in the home? What can we do to help her to the next step?
Before we run out of time, what about crime, police crime? How are we doing in that regard?
Well, I think we need to hold the offenders accountable. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I hear people complain about gunshots, and of course during 4th of July, was that a gunshot or was it a firecracker? Our dogs certainly don't like the firecrackers. But I think we took a good step by putting the group violence intervention in, and the gal that heads that is doing an amazing job. She's a wonderful resource, and what I would like to see is council as a whole utilize her more by strengthening our neighborhoods. I think if we start by, I think first, if we get our roads fixed, that helps because roads are the basis to everything. Health, safety, just a whole value, lot of stuff. Then if we
Laura, we've both been here a long time.
I know. People say it will never happen, but I'm going to get a plan.
I'm not saying it will never happen, but it's not going to happen overnight.
But we can get a plan in place. If we have a plan for 20 years or 30 years, whatever it's going to take in place, and they look at it every single year and adjust it, and people understand and we communicate it, it's a huge step in the right direction. Blakely Avenue, the citizens got together and said, we want our road done. And so.
Oh, that's horrible. Yeah.
They're taking on the assessment, and that'll be done the first of next year. I had someone ask me about the details on that, so I'm waiting for that. But back to safety, I think if we can improve our neighborhoods, whether it's help having the head of the GVI help with neighborhood associations, make them stronger, because there are a lot of people within each neighborhood that want to be more organized. You know, if you had a group of people that said, you know, the worst house on the block, let's work on it this year, let's help that person, and then the next year you tackle the next one and be the neighbors that we all used to be, and learn who our neighbors are, because we've had a lot of changeover, as most communities do. That would be a first step: trimming back bushes, brightening our lights, adding lights, making sure our police force and fire departments are paid a fair wage, so that we can encourage people to want to work here in Jackson. Because police officers are far and fewer between than they used to be.
Hard to hire them now.
It is hard to hire
even them. Fire. Right?
Well, fire were pretty full. In fact, one place I was knocking, there's a young man who's a fireman and just really wants to work for the city, brand new fireman. So I passed his information on to the fire department, and the next hiring round, which is coming up, they'll probably make sure he's got the information on that. So
you're running to replace Mayor Mahoney. Why should he be replaced?
Why should Mahoney? Well, nobody can replace anybody, and I would hopefully think that. he's a good advocate for the South Side and equity, which are two very, very important topics and should always remain on the table. And I'm ready to tackle those issues along with several other issues. And I would hope that when I win the mayoral race, that Mahoney stays very involved, because he's a good asset for our community.
Laura, appreciate you coming out, and good luck on August 8th.
Thank you. Oh, vote August 8th.
Vote. That'll be tough.
Yeah.
Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
Laura Dwyer-Schlecke.
Are you a homeowner? Are you sick of paying an electric bill that keeps going up and never ends? Do you wish that there was another option? Harvest Solar here in Jackson is your trusted local source for cost-effective, renewable energy. Harvest Solar has been helping homeowners own their power and gain energy independence for over 15 years. Zero-down financing options are available. Contact us today to schedule your free, no-obligation home energy assessment at 788-8800 or visit harvestsolar.com.
Did you know that you can save up to $1,200 with a new federal tax credit on energy-efficient window shades from Hunter Douglas? Hi, this is Ted Kristoff from Kristoff & Sons Floor Covering, and I'm here to fill you in on the details. Hunter Douglas.